Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, the Volvo EX30 sales start well, Ford's commitment to a more affordable EV, and the Tesla Model 3 performance is a bit of a steal with tax credits. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you about a new, smaller electric Kia, which could well take the place of the Niro. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Thursday, 25th of April. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. We'll start with that great news coming out of Volvo today. The EX30, their new electric crossover, is already showing strong sales performance and is projected to become the top-selling EV in Volvo's lineup by the end of the year, which will delight those that have shown the EX30 some love already and got their orders in. Lots of people excited about this vehicle. In the first quarter of the year, Volvo achieved global EV sales for the EX30 of 14,500. That's a good number, actually, for 3 months of the year. Almost 15,000 EX30s on the road globally, and a significant portion developed last month in March, about 8,500 of those. Despite being Volvo's most affordable EV, starting at $35,000 equivalent, depending on where you are around the world, it might be a little bit more expensive for you, but the EX30 is generating gross margins ranging from between 15 and 20%, say Volvo, which is pretty much industry leading, not more than others, but certainly a leading standard. Many people would love a 20% gross margin on their automotive business making pure electric vehicles. Of course, this is a brand new vehicle on a new platform from the parent company, and very little inside it, so that's just the screen, really, and that's about your lot. They really have cut costs, but many people who've driven the EX30, taken delivery already, very much enjoying that vehicle and saying that the stripped-back nature of it doesn't detract from it being a great electric vehicle. Now, Volvo aims to have half of its sales comprised of all EV models by the end of next year, 2025, with the EX30, 40, EC 40, the EX90, and then there's the EM90. Now, the EX90 is the upscale SUV that is scheduled for production in the second quarter of the year. So we're now into Q2. That'll start to get made. Deliveries will begin in the latter half of this year. The EM90, if you haven't heard of that, that is the luxury minivan. For now, for the Chinese market, that's already in production. Now, let's talk Tesla Model 3 and what could well be the bargain of the century. Now, I'm not pretending, by the way, that $45,000 is a bargain, but bear with me. The all-new and re-engineered Model 3 Performance, which we've told you about recently, oh, and by the way, this weekend, look out for a special podcast all about that car, starts at $52,990 in the US. It's a cost-effective choice, though, if you compare it to the car that should be cheaper, and that is the long-range all-wheel drive model, again, so-called Highland Edition. That's because the long-range all-wheel drive does not get the $7,500 federal tax credit. The performance car, well, it does. Only the new Model 3 Performance qualifies for the cash, effectively what is cash on the hood these days. As long as there are some personal qualifiers, there are some earnings windows that you have to earn within, but that Model 3 Performance, if you do qualify for the tax credit and it's money off the purchase now, at the point of purchase, it's cheaper than the long range. So unless you really need those handful of miles difference, why wouldn't you buy the Performance? Is that going to be an issue for Tesla? Is that an issue because it kind of disrupts their ramping ladder through the range? You get a better vehicle, you pay a bit more money for that. Well, actually, the Model 3 Performance is really impressive. And again, this weekend, look out for a whole separate podcast all about the Model 3 Performance as we go a deep dive into all the tech changes on that. But if you want to get the best value, you could actually get a cheaper car than the long range by getting the Performance with the tax credit. Now, look, they also on the US site like to advertise it with the estimated fuel savings as well. That's changed here in the UK. That's not how they do it anymore. But I've noticed maybe that was a regulation or something with Tesla UK. But certainly for the US cars, they still list the overall savings price, which, if you're interested, by the way, they list the Model 3 Performance at $40,490 because of the tax credit. And like they like to show the estimated savings on the homepage as well. But even with that, the price delta between those two, performance and long range, is it's $2,250 cheaper. Well, the Model 3 Performance is exceptional value. Now, they've not reinvented the wheel with this. It's definitely a Model 3. But it's got some, again, look out for the separate podcast on that in the feed. It's got some good engineering underneath it and some very interesting engineering that will make it a more expensive car to produce than the long range. And it still does 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds. That is a time reserved for very high price performance cars. Comparing prices, the Model 3 Performance, like I say, price-wise with the federal tax credit, ignore the petrol saving stuff and the gas savings, $45,490. So if you want to start comparing $45,490, if you qualify for the tax credit, to a Honda Civic Type R, to a Toyota GR Corolla Circuit Edition, that performance has got some serious track chops to it. Well, luxury performance cars like the M3 from BMW and the Mercedes-AMG C63 all start much higher ticket prices, which makes the Model 3 Performance a compelling choice, a cost-effective choice. I'll steer away from using the word absolute bargain, because 45 grand is not a bargain in anyone's books, unless for you it is small change, in which case, congratulations for you. I'll pop a link to that so you can see all the tax credit stuff in the show notes if you'd like to find out more. Let's talk Hyundai, and this is great news from Hyundai. Hyundai are leading in the US kind of runners-up race. Now, in the US, it's Tesla and Tesla and Tesla. And although they used to be 70% of the market, and now they're coming down to 50%, and their market share is being eroded, in the first quarter of this year, it's the Hyundai Motor Group that outpaced the Fords and the General Motors, delivering 22,872 electric vehicles. Ford weren't far behind, though, with 20,223 vehicles, EVs, sold. General Motors and Volkswagen Group were further behind. GM was at 16,500. VW Group was at 13,000. Well, Hyundai's EV market share improved to 6% in the first quarter of the year, a positive trend from the previous year. BMW sold over 10,000 units in the same period. But Hyundai Group, so Hyundai Kia Genesis, really committing to electric vehicles and benefiting from it as well. There's no ambiguity in there. They're making money from their EVs as well. They're importing their EVs. They're not getting the federal tax credit. They're not making them on US soil with all the batteries and they're made out of the right bits yet. And so even with that, and yes, they are on some of their models chipping in an equivalent $7,500 effectively to get the tax credit, but it's Hyundai money. Still, great achievement. So what of Ford, who I just mentioned? Well, the next story is all about Ford's EV revenue, which dropped significantly in Q1 by 84%. But that is because of the intense pricing competition that's happening within the EV market right now. Despite the decline in actual revenue for EVs, they had an 86% surge in EV sales, which is why they were up in the first quarter of the year, but slightly behind Hyundai Group. Ford's electric vehicle unit is called Model E. And in terms of the investment they're putting into Model E, it is significant, and it's taken a while to pay back. Losses of $1.3 billion in the first quarter, equating to about $132,000 per vehicle sold, which obviously negatively affects the company's earnings. The Ford F-150 Lightning emerged as the top-selling electric pickup in the US, with a sales increase of 80% year-on-year. And the CFO at Ford is John Lawler, and he highlighted the challenge of profitability in the EV market because of this price war, with revenue declining faster than the cost reductions on vehicles. The full-year loss for Model E last year, in 2023, was, all right, I'm going to hold on to my seat for this one, $4.7 billion. And that was on 116,000 EV sales, averaging about $40,000 loss per vehicle. Ford's Mustang Mach-E secured its position as the second best-selling SUV in the US, Bit of a niche to get the second best-selling title, with 77% sales rise year on year. Of course, it's behind the Model Y. Ford's commercial unit, the Pro, Ford Pro, is really a shining star. So if you have an e-Transit, an electric Transit, for instance, and maybe you will also subscribe to Ford Pro and use their fleet services, they had a 40% growth in EV adoption. The e-Transit sales spiked by 148% in Q1. Ford's pricing adjustments might have been boosted sales, and it propelled the company to the second spot at times in the US, but not over the whole quarter. Like I say, last year they did well. Over 2023, Ford was number two. But recently, Hyundai just pipped ahead of them for at least the first quarter. We'll look for the Q2 numbers when we get those. Those market dynamics that are at play, Ford postponed their EV production at their Blue Oval City facility until 2026, and they delayed the launch of the all-electric three-row SUV. Ford is focusing on a smaller, more affordable EV with additional hybrid models in the lineup as well, and plug-in hybrids. Now, despite these challenges, Ford are committed to electric vehicles. They remain not only committed, but optimistic about improving the EV costs and maintaining their full-year guidance. Ford's recent cost-cutting measures and shift aligns with the industry, really. Their new brand campaign is called Freedom of Choice, and we saw BMW do that several years ago, with it kind of more internally talking about the freedom of choice of, well, we'll have our factories, they'll make whatever comes down the line. So if our customers want to buy combustion for now, but plug-ins later, then we'll do that. And so trying to sell that whole kind of, hey, we've got electrics, we've got plug-ins, we've got engines as a positive. Well, Ford are giving that a go, but this is consumer-facing, of course. Ford Pro is the fleet sales bit, and they have really been a shining star, with strong demand and notable orders from the US Postal Service and Ecolab as well. The CEO of Ford is Jim Farley, and he has been optimistic about the profitability of their EV business with their next-gen EV models. General Motors and Stellantis also reporting their numbers this week, insights into their EV profitability. GM wants to be profitable in North America by the second half of this year. Stellantis already is profitable on their EVs for their European EV business. And let me know what you think about how Ford are doing in the big EV battle. Have they discounted enough? Does that make you want to go buy a Ford Mustang Mach-E with a new cheaper prices or the new model year holding on to last year's discounted prices? Let me know. All right, we'll take a quick break and stick around, or fast forward the ads. That's up to you. And if you want to get the podcasts ad-free, then you can do that. One of the perks of being on the Patreon Legends list, and that can add your name to the list. I put all of the executive producers and above in the daily show notes at evnewsdaily.com. Check it out at patreon.com/evnewsdaily. Back in a sec. All right, let's continue and talk about Kia's cheaper, maybe Niro replacement, the EV3, gearing up to introduce the production version of the compact EV3 following the success of their launch of the EV6. There's going to be the EV23456, of course, and the Kia EV9 at the very top of the tree. The EV3 will be a bit smaller in size to the Niro. Yes, it will come to the US market, and yes, it'll have the same minimalist interior we've seen in Teslas and Volvo EX30s, with a central infotainment display. And that's about it, which really does cut the cost down. The Kia EV models, like the EV3, all use their EGMP architecture, their platform dedicated to EVs. Now, the more expensive cars, the EV6, EV9, they sit on a higher voltage, 800. We sort of shorthand is we've got 800-volt platform or architecture. It's not quite 800 volts nominal. It's quite a lot less, actually. But it's the two ways of describing it, either a 400-volt system or an 800-volt system. The smaller models get the 400-volt system, where parts are more plentiful, supply chains are more plentiful, it's more cost efficient to make a 400 volt EV, that's more common in EV world, and on the EV3, yes, it will offer lower charging power, slightly. I mean, Teslas operate a very low voltage, by the way, apart from the Cybertruck, so it's not as if a higher voltage is automatically better, but either way, lower charging power and a little less efficiency compared to the 800-volt versions on that platform from Kia, but they'll be much more affordable for the EV3. Now, Maxus is a name in commercial vehicles, and it's a Chinese brand these days, owned by SAIC. Maxus have unveiled the eDeliver 5 for the UK market. And it has a 64 kilowatt hour battery. It'll do WLTP 208 miles, 335 kilometers, plenty for most working vehicles. And the electric transporter van has a payload of 1,200 kilograms, two roof heights, either 6 cubic meters or 7.6 cubic meters. Pricing starts at £34,000 without VAT, which we pay 20% on, but businesses often deal with an XVAT number. With orders now open, deliveries begin August. The eDeliver series began in 2020 with the eDeliver 4, then there was the 7 in 2023, and now we've got the eDeliver 5. Let's talk a little bit about declining prices. Let's go back to Tesla, actually. And yes, you know, a sponsor of this podcast, a partner of the show, is Recurrent. Check them out at Recurrent Auto online, and you get your battery reports. Well, if you want to check them out, you can, because they've always got some great insights on the data of EVs. Tesla's used car prices have significantly dropped in 2024. And year on year, the Model S is down 35% from this time a year ago. The Model 3 is down 31.5%. The Model X down 32%, Model Y 34% year on year. The price reductions are all about strategies at Tesla to reduce the price of their new vehicles, which of course impacts the used vehicles in the market, and the trend reflects the wider industry as well. Recurrent showing their data that 27% was lopped off the price of the most popular EVs in the last 12 months. Recurrent predicts the decrease in prices could help drive demand and stabilize values by the end of this year, the forecast suggesting a potential shift in market dynamics for used EVs. Now let's talk about the EPA, the US Environmental Protection Agency, announcing grants worth $1 billion to help move from gas to electric for heavy-duty vehicles and school buses. The Clean Heavy-Duty Vehicles Grant Program supports the adoption of electric Class 6 and 7 vehicles and charging infrastructure as well, plus training the workforce. The grants are divided into either the school bus program, which gets 70% of the money, and the vocational vehicles program, which gets a remainder 30% of the budget for box trucks and refuse haulers and delivery trucks and the like. At least $400 million of the program's funding is mandated to benefit communities facing pollution. As per the EPA standards, the initiative aims to address the environmental impact of over 3 million Class 6 and Class 7 vehicles in use in the US, contributing to particulates and greenhouse gas emissions. The president for international climate policy, senior advisor to the Biden administration, is John Podesta, and said this, and I quote, "In addition to progress in electrifying light-duty vehicles, today's funding will accelerate projects deploying electric school buses, garbage trucks, and delivery vans across the nation." And finally, all of this talk about EVs and moving to electric vehicles, surely it's moving the needle on oil consumption? Well, yeah, but oil is used for a lot more than light vehicles and road transport. But still, PetroChina, the organization, predicts that the peak oil consumption for transportation in China will be sometime in 2025. That's peak oil use in 2025. Then the overall domestic oil demand will decline as the decade moves on. The company anticipates China's oil consumption will reach its peak at around 800 million tons per year. China's transition towards net zero carbon emissions by 2060, I'll say that again, 2060 is China's target, will of course decrease the oil consumption to around 250 million tons per year, but that's only after 2050. And so people are losing their minds. Some people are losing their minds about electric vehicles. Will I be made to drive an EV? Am I having my diesel car taken from me tomorrow in the middle of the night? Will they rip it from my hands? No. Listen, these targets, China's working on targets of 2050, 2060. And they're, you know, already most of their cars are going to be EVs probably next year. More recently, it was about 32% new car sales were NEVs. And they reckon that by 2030, 50% of China's new car sales will be NEVs, and then it's the tipping point. And then, even then, we're only taking the oil demand of transportation from 800 million tons per year to 250 million tons per year by 2050. Man, there's so much work to do. It's why I'm here every day. It's with so much news to spread and tell people the truth about electric vehicles and everything around it as well. There is, of course, an increased use of plastics in manufacturing, sometimes even in EVs, and lightweighting of vehicles, and that all requires oil use. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners on Patreon, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel, Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map, and Lease Plan Electric Moments, providing all the tools and guidance EV drivers need. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.